This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening, I'm Ezra Zayed, and it's the evening edition. This evening, we're going to take a look at Cambodia, and the country, for some time now, it's had a problem. The country is littered with landmines which are devices that are laid on the ground or buried underneath. It's designed to destroy enemies who are passing nearby, and the landmine problem is a result of 3 decades of war that plagued the country.
Cambodia has gone through a few issues over the last sort of 20, 30 years with civil war. And obviously, you know, being very close to Vietnam, they sort of inherited a little bit of the bombing that came from the Americans as well during the Vietnam War. So landmines at the time were a tool used by soldiers or militia to defend positions. You know, whichever side, whether it's the home side, the enemy, they laid the landmines to defend places that they were occupying. And obviously sometimes during war, then, you know, people leave those landmines staying in place.
This is Paul McCarthy, and he's part of a Belgian NGO called APOPO, which is working to remove landmines in Cambodia and a number of other countries in Africa and Southeast Asia.
My name is Paul McCarthy, and I'm the program manager for APOPO in Cambodia.
The process of removing landmines for peace, it's called humanitarian demining. And the purpose of this process is to ensure that affected areas are restored to a condition that's once again safe for communities to inhabit. But what's interesting about APOPO is that they recruit what could be seen as unlikely heroes. Rats. That's right. APOPO trains rats to sniff out landmines, and specifically a species called the African giant pouched rats. So this is how it works. Each rat is assigned a personal handler who accompanies the rat during their daily work of searching for landmines.
Okay, so it's they're up before dawn, basically. And you've got to remember that the rats naturally are nocturnal. So we're sort of, you know, we're getting them up before dawn.
Before they head to the field, the handler puts some cream on the mine detection rat to protect it from sunburn.
And then the rats are put into transit cages, loaded into vehicles, and they're taken up to the minefield. And the current minefield is probably about 30 to 40 minutes away from where the rats are actually housed. So basically, the rats start from sun up. As soon as the sun's in the sky, we start working. And currently, they're working for like 4 to 5 hours. And that's basically based on temperature range. As soon, you know, once we get to 11 o'clock, 10, 11 o'clock, the sun's too high, the temperature's too hot, so the rats don't want to work. But by that time, you know, they've done a phenomenal amount of work. So they're clearing around 3,000 square meters of land a day, which is fantastic.
Just to gauge your sense, I mean, you mentioned that, you know, after a certain time it gets too hot and the rats don't really want to work. I mean, do they have a temperament that you can observe?
Yes. I mean, you know, the handlers are with these rats day in, day out. So each handler knows what the rat's actual temperament is. And you can actually see it. They become fatigued, lethargic. So once that's happened, you just stop work. You know, they're loaded back up into the vehicles, into air conditioning, under the shade, and then they're taken home.
Cambodia is one of the most landmine-affected countries in the world. Since 1979, over 64,000 casualties have been recorded in the country, which are a combined result of landmines and explosive remnants of war, or ERW. ERWs are unstable devices which pose a similar danger as landmines, threatening to explode and cause harm.
A lot of the villages actually know where to stay away from and what areas not to use and what tracks not to use. You know, and that's been passed down from generation to generation. However, there are accidents happening, you know, week in, week out, and it's still a big problem. You know, the landmines have been in the floor maybe 30 years, but they're still going to work if, you know, if somebody steps on them.
And what was the initial approach in dealing with this problem of landmines? What were some of the solutions that were available?
There's a manual effort, which is basically a guy with a metal detector. You know, he searches the ground, finds the mines, and takes them away. And, you know, we're also using dogs. A very effective tool. You know, they can clear a lot of land in a short period of time. And obviously rats as well, which, you know, work on the same principles as the dogs, basically. They smell the explosives contained within the landmines.
And how far do we go back that rats are actually used to detect landmines? I mean, did we know that rats always had this in them?
Yeah, I guess so. We're going back sort of 10 years on the landmine side of things. But it's quite new for APOPO to be outside of Africa. The initial thoughts were that the main effort, the main concentration would be that, you know, the rats would be used to detect the explosives in the African region. So we've only been working with the rats actually to detect mines in Cambodia for the last 8 to 9 months.
And tell us a little bit more about Apopo and how Apopo recruits rats to detect landmines.
Okay, so Apopo is actually headquartered in Morogoro. It's a Belgian NGO. And the founder, a guy called Bart Wiggins, actually, you know, started with realizing that the rats have a heightened sense of smell, you know, and, you know, they could be trained to find explosives. So trials were done, tests were done, and it worked out that the actual rats can detect explosives. Also, there's other applications as well that the rats are actually being used very successfully to detect tuberculosis in the medical world. So there's programs in Africa at the moment where the rats are actually detecting TB.
Here's a clip of a TED Talk by Apopo's founder, Bert Wiggins, as he explains the rationale behind recruiting rats for detection purposes.
Rats have more genetic material allocated to olfaction than any other mammal species. They're extremely sensitive to smell. Now, how do we communicate with rats? Well, we don't talk rats, but we have a clicker, a standard method for animal training. A clicker which makes a particular sound with which we can reinforce particular behaviors. We can train rats at a fifth of the price of a trained demining dog.
And I've seen some of the photos of these big, giant rats, and they're huge, aren't they? And they're not the usual rats that you see by the side of the road.
No, exactly. And, you know, that's the first thought that comes into people's minds. When we say rats, you know, they always think of the, you know, the small rats that inhabit places like the, you know, the London Underground and the sewers and things like this. But these are actually giant African pouch rats. They're a fair size, and they're anywhere between 0.7 and 1.2 kilograms. So even though they're, you know, they're quite large, they're not too heavy. But they are actually quite cute rats. That's probably the best description.
Folks, I'm speaking to Paul McCarthy, who's currently based in Cambodia, where he's the program manager for Apopo's demining mission in the country. We'll find out more about Apopo's work in Cambodia after this. It's the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back. It's the Evening Edition. I'm Ezra Zaid. And today I've been speaking to Paul McCarthy. He is part of the Belgian NGO called Apopo, and they train African giant pouch rats to detect landmines and also tuberculosis. Now, Paul is the program manager for Apopo's demining missions in Cambodia. And earlier on, we looked at a day in the life of a mine detection rat, which works alongside a personal handler to search out landmines. And these landmines are then removed and neutralized or detonated in the safest way possible. Tell us about the training process for these giant rats. I mean, how does it work exactly?
Okay, so they're taken from basically from 6 weeks old. So all they know is human contact. You know, they're never wild. They're bred basically in captivity, and they're bred for a particular job. And the way that, you know, they're trained to detect the explosives or the scent trace, and it's all done on a reward scheme. So when the rat actually smells what it's looking for, basically there's an audible sound. So there's like we have a clicker. So we make the noise, and then the rat runs to the handler, and he gets rewarded by bananas, peanuts, watermelon, or food. So whereas you do the same thing with a dog, you know, you throw a ball for a dog, and the dog would run, and its reward is play. And the reward for the rat is actually food.
And does the government of Cambodia acknowledge the effectiveness of this particular approach?
Yes, for sure. Yeah, yeah. Our partner is the Cambodian Mine Action Centre, which is basically a government organisation. So we're partnered with them. We have a great relationship with them. They do some fantastic work. They have around 1,000 operators in the field clearing mines manually. We've been a partner with them for over a year. And I think any approach is a good approach, so long as it's working and it's safe. If it's eradicating the problem, then any approach is a good approach. Basically, we have 50% of our handlers are from Apopo and 50% from CMAC, who are existing deminers. And, you know, these guys have been with the rats for the last year. So we put out a call for handlers. We interviewed. We did practical tests, you know, to make sure that they're actually good and confident handling rats. And they have a real good bond. They have a real good relationship with the rats. You know, the handlers can actually see when they're tired, if they're becoming sick, when they're working well. And it's pretty much the same as a handler with a dog. You know, they have that relationship, which is, it's really nice to see, actually.
Yeah, and it's so foreign that you're speaking about this relationship with a rat, because that's not something that's so common to the human experience, I guess.
Yeah, not at all. It's you know, it's probably, for the average person, it's probably quite hard to conceive that, you know, this actually happens. But you've got to remember as well that rats in many places are actual pets for people. You know, people actually keep rats as pets. So it's not too uncommon. And, you know, the handlers have a real affection for the rats, and the rats have a bit of a affection for the handlers, which is great. And it all makes for a real good working relationship.
Paul, what's the safety risk for these handlers and their respective rats when it comes to looking out for these landmines?
Well, you know, it's nature of the job. There is obviously a risk in what we do. However, we're always trying to minimise that risk, you know, and that's why we've brought in the rats as well. The rats themselves actually indicate by actually digging on top of the mine, but they're too light to actually set it off. So the actual risk to the rats and to the handler is minimised.
So they're light enough that when they come across a landmine, they can actually be sitting on one of these landmines but not actually trigger it off in any way?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. The way that the handler knows that the rat has actually found the mine is because the rat actually digs the earth. It digs the ground right on top of the mine. And it's too light. Even with the downward pressure of the digging action, it's too light to set off the mine.
In comparison, though, how effective are these rats when it comes to detection and actually demining it?
Oh, yeah, superb. I mean, you know, they're like I say, they've had 100% detection rate. They're as good as the dogs. They're the same as the dogs, the same as the manual. They're just working a different process. And like I say, we're clearing approximately 3,000 square metres of land a day. I mean, we're a tiny organisation. We're probably the smallest mine clearance organisation in the country at the moment. But, you know, that's 3,000 square metres a day. So recently we've cleared a minefield of 52,000 square metres in 17 days. The upside of that is that community had not had that minefield for going on 30 years. You know, they couldn't access it, they couldn't walk through it, they couldn't plough it, they couldn't harvest it. And 17 days after we started work, we handed that field back to them.
Let's talk a little bit more about the cost of implementing rats on the ground. How does it work?
Well, the cost of the rats actually varies depending on how many rats we actually send to a program. So I had 14 rats here in Cambodia, and so we worked out the price has been around $6,000 each, you know, once the training is conducted and everything and the man hours. So, yeah, around $6,000. But, I mean, you know, $6,000, and we get around 6 to 7 years of work out of the rats and the changes that they can make to community life, you know, that's a small figure.
And Paul, let's talk a little bit more about the lifespan of these rats and how long they actually get to be out on the field.
Well, the lifespan's actually around 10 years. We actually probably get around 6 to 7 years work out of the rats, actually in the field clearing the mines. But, you know, even once they get they get to the end of their working life, sort of 6, 7 years, they're basically retired. They're not euthanized. They're kept here. You know, we look after them until basically their last day.
That's Paul McCarthy. He's the program manager for Apopo's demining efforts in Cambodia. We'll continue our conversation about how African giant pouch rats are being trained to save lives after this on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Become fabulous millionaires. BFM 89.9.
It's the Evening Edition. I'm Ezra Zayed, and today we've been talking about how rats are being trained into heroes and how they're helping remove landmines from affected areas of war and conflict. Now, landmines, they're a prevalent problem. They have been scattered in over a third of the world's countries, causing danger long after wars have ended. And according to the United Nations, landmines kill 15 to 20,000 people globally each year, most of them children, women, and the elderly, besides injuring a vast number of innocent individuals.
I mean, it's a huge issue at the moment. You know, Southeast Asia, where we are at the moment, Iraq, Afghanistan, and then go over to the other side. We've still got issues in Colombia. You know, the recent peace deal has been signed there. And so, yeah, Africa, yeah, it's global. I mean, you just got to look at the ongoing issues in the Middle East at the moment. You know, once peace actually happens, then the clear-up operation will start. And that's, you know, that's going to take years and years to actually finish that.
That's Paul McCarthy from Apopo, an NGO that's training African giant-pouched rats to detect landmines and tuberculosis in African and Southeast Asian countries.
So they're doing TB detection in Africa. On the mine clearing side, we're operational in Mozambique, Angola, and we're just starting in Zimbabwe. My boss is actually just moved out to Colombia. We're exploring issues or potentials to go operational in Colombia, obviously Cambodia. So, yeah, it's a global stretch.
Let's talk a little bit more about, I mean, just trying to see the progress that Apopo has had in clearing mines in Cambodia and elsewhere. What time frame or objectives do you set for yourselves, and when do you hope for the problem to, I guess, disappear?
Well, it doesn't really work that way, and it's a shame. I wish it could do, but basically, we're all, you know, we're an NGO, so the biggest issue that we have, or I have here in Cambodia, is ensuring that we have capital to keep us working. You know, at the moment, we have current funding for 3 years. The problem here in Cambodia is not going to be finished in 3 years. It's going to take probably three times that to actually make an effort. But, you know, if the money keeps coming, then the problem can be solved quicker.
And so maybe just a little bit of a description as to how Apopo actually, I don't know if you have a process in which you certify an area to be mine-free, or is that something that, how does that work exactly?
Well, we've undergone testing and trials and testing by the government. So basically, they wanted to be 100% sure that our capability is effective, and we passed those tests. So what we do is when we're actually searching an area, we put one rat over the top of the area to search it. Then we actually put a second rat over the top to ensure that, you know, we've not missed anything. And then I actually implemented that we do 25% of that area again with manual. So, you know, we're basically doing two checks and a third quality control to ensure that land is actually mine-free. You know, and we would not hand an area back if we weren't 100% sure that it...
That makes such a huge difference to the community as well. I mean, if for, you know, decades a particular area was an area that you could not enter, and then after 17 days, I mean, that makes a huge difference to the community, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's massive. You know, it's even the gives a bit of food security, so they, like I say, they can harvest the field, or they can grow vegetables. They can have livestock, or even just the fact that the families know that the children can use that field to play in or to walk through to get to school. You know, after 30 years of not being able to do it, it's a phenomenal change to their life. It's fantastic.
And we're trying to think of. I'm trying to think of scenarios in which, you know, these rats are either on a daily basis, they're saving lives, and it's such a curious notion how it's approaching it, right?
It is, and you know, the locals here were, you know, they're surprised every day. Every time we turn up to a field, you know, we get loads of visitors to come and actually see, because nobody actually believes that, you know, the rats do what they do. And part of my task is actually to try and get people to overcome that scepticism. But, you know, the thing that I use is that, you know, we look back 20 years ago before dogs, you know, when dogs were being introduced, and people were sceptic about the use of dogs. And now dogs are a phenomenal tool, you know, and they're accepted. It's going to take some time, and it's going to take a lot of people to actually come and see our results and, you know, see the data that we're producing. But I think, you know, given time, the scepticism will be overcome.
Apopo's work has been studied recently by the Geneva International Center for Humanitarian Demining. A review is in the works to decide whether they would include detection rats technology in a revision of the International Mine Action Standards. Now, that's a guideline by the United Nations for the safest methods of demining. If that happens, according to Paul, this would go a long way toward helping Apopo gain assurance for their work. We've come to the end of today's show, and I've been speaking to Paul McCarthy. He's the program manager for Apopo's demining work in Cambodia. If you missed any part of this program, download the podcast at our website, bfm.my. It's the evening edition. I'm Ezra Zayed, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.